The following is a lecture by Rabbi David Kaplan. Rabbi Kaplan is originally from Chicago. He attended Northeastern University and received his rabbinical ordination in Jerusalem. He has lectured widely in Israel and America and is currently a senior lecturer at the main campus in Jerusalem.
We're coming up in Yirtzeh Hashem. Now let's go into the laws of Lashon Hara. Now let me just say at the outset, again, please hold the questions. Most of the questions on this I've heard, I'll give you a chance. They're generally, I've had it in my experiences that on this subject there are lots of questions because there are lots of possibilities and lots of people to talk about. So I'll give you a chance at the end to ask questions about it. This is by no means the full range of halacha on the subject. Right? There are many other halachas that need to be discussed. This is just something to give you a little taste, and then you could follow it up on your own. The best book available right now in English on the subject, there's a book called Guard Your Tongue by Rabbi Zelig Pliskin, which is a synopsis of the laws that the Chafetz Chaim wrote. The Chafetz Chaim wrote it in Hebrew. It's a synopsis of the laws, and in Guard Your Tongue, Rabbi Pliskin gives a for every law, he gives a practical example from real life of what it's actually, like somebody once described it as, a book of halacha, which is actually enjoyable reading. Right? You can't lie back on a bed, right, or sit down at the table with a bowl of grapes and read about what you're not allowed to say about people. And some of the examples, if you can make it through that book without laughing, right, then you're not being honest. Because those examples that he gives, you see yourself in that book all over the place. So first of all, the most basic excuse that people offer up when they speak Lashon, somebody's about to say something to you. Hey, you know what I saw Bernie do? Right? You say, oh, hold it, you know, that might be Lashon Hara. Right? The most common excuse people will use when they're speaking Lashon Hara is, no, it's not a problem because what I'm about to tell you is true. Right? That, gentlemen, is the definition of Lashon Hara. The definition of Lashon Hara is when what you're saying is true. If what you're saying is not true, then you're a motzi shemra. Then you're a slanderer, right? We're talking about truth over here. If the derogatory statement, which you're going to say, is not true, then you're in the category you can be taken to court, you can be sued for slander. We're talking about where you convey truthful information, and even so, the halacha says that what you are saying is prohibited to be said, right? So the first category is that even if it's true, it's prohibited to be said. Number two, even if you include yourself, the fact that your narrative is, do you know that Tom and myself, we got caught cheating on a test, right? Now that's derogatory information. The fact that you include yourself doesn't make it okay. And there's even a question whether or not you are allowed to speak Lashon Hara about yourself. According to the Chafetz Chaim, although by the letter of the law, the Chafetz Chaim is undecided, by the letter of the law, certainly from the spirit of the law, one should not speak Lashon Hara about himself. And the Chafetz Chaim says that he had his own experience where he was being driven to a certain town by a wagon driver. And the wagon driver said to him, do you know who's coming to our town today? The great Chafetz Chaim. And the Chafetz Chaim, being a very humble man, said to the wagon driver, well, you know, he's not all that he's cracked up to be. In those days, they didn't have mass communication, so the wagon driver never seen what the Chafetz Chaim looks like. So he turns to this little old man he's driving, says, no, I tell you, this is the leading sage of our generation. The Chafetz Chaim says, nah, I know him well. He's not all that they make him out to be. And finally, this is going on for a while. They're talking, and this is going on. Finally, the wagon driver couldn't take this little old man speaking about the Chafetz Chaim that way. Finally, the wagon driver slapped him across the face. Right? Now they pull up to the town. There are 5,000 people with signs. Right? Welcome Chafetz Chaim, go Chafetz Chaim, we'll get them Chafetz Chaim. Right? They're all there to greet the Chafetz Chaim, and as they all come out to greet this man, the wagon driver realizes that he has slapped the leading sage of the generation across the face. Right? So the Chafetz Chaim, then he comes in, he profusely apologizes to the Chafetz Chaim. The Chafetz Chaim obviously says, don't worry about it, so on and so forth. But then the Chafetz Chaim writes that based on his experience, right, he sees that there are even possible negative ramifications if you speak Lashon Hara about yourself. So to speak about yourself alone, to speak about somebody else, even though you include yourself, is absolutely prohibited. There is a halacha that you're not allowed to say something about yourself. You are not allowed to relate a story about yourself where you transgress. A person is not allowed to mention having transgressed another era, because if you're willing to talk about it in public, a person is willing to broadcast the fact that he has once done an avera, that means it's obviously a sign that he's not ashamed of what he's done. So it is prohibited to talk about past misdeeds. You know, yeah, I used to be able to put away about 4 cheeseburgers at a sitting. Yeah, that means that I'm not very, that I don't sincerely regret my past misdeeds. If I really regretted it, I wouldn't be talking about it. Therefore, one is not supposed to talk about past misdeeds. You're not allowed to speak Lashon Hara about relatives or friends. This is often the most difficult category. You're not allowed to speak about your parents. You're not allowed to speak about your wife, your husband, your children. You're not allowed to speak about relatives, and you're not allowed to speak about friends. First of all, how good a friend could you possibly be if you're willing to be speaking and saying something negative about them, right? That's something slander, something derogatory. But the letter, the halacha says that you're not allowed to say, and it's very common that a wife will complain to her neighbor about her husband, somebody will complain to his friend about his parents. All of these things are prohibited. Category number 4, children. Also, the fact that the children, parents are allowed to speak about their children when it's for a beneficial purpose. You can't just blow off steam and talk about how miserable the children are. And you're not allowed to tell your relatives about how miserable your children are, how your children are mischievous, whatever they're doing. So if it's family members and it's not being said as something derogatory, it's actually something we're proud of. You know, oh, you should have seen my kid the other day. He unrolled the entire roll, right? And then he drenched it. And everybody has a good laugh. There's nothing wrong with it. But if you're talking about something that's a serious problem that a child has, or something that you mean in a negative light, then that would be prohibited even among family members about your own children. One thing that you are allowed to do, you are allowed to talk about someone. For when I said you're not allowed to say something derogatory about your parents, you're allowed to tell me something derogatory about your parents if I've never met your parents, and there's no chance that I'm going to meet them. You can say something about someone who the other party either doesn't know who you're talking about, or even if they do know specifically, yes, that's my uncle, I've got an uncle Fred, right? But I've never met him and I never will meet him, right? Or the chances are remote that I'm ever going to meet him, then you are allowed to say it to me. On the other hand, if there is a chance that from the way you're speaking, I can figure out who it is, then it's prohibited, right? You're not allowed, the fact that you don't mention a name, right? There's a guy that I know. He happens to be in room 8C in the yeshiva, right? He's 5'9" and he always wears a Boston Red Sox cap, right? Now, this guy is the most inconsiderate person I've ever met. And I know exactly who you're talking about. That's 100% Lashon Hara. Or any type of gesture, right? Right? Any type of derogatory gesture where I can read your sign language, and your sign language is obviously derogatory, prohibited by halacha. Business. Here is an area of Lashon Hara where your words can have concrete results in damaging or harming somebody else. If I simply say, you know, Bernie is inconsiderate, right? So if I'm saying it to you, it's a big deal. So I said it to you. Chances are you're not going to tell anybody else. I happen to tell you something about Bernie. There is not necessarily a tangible damage or tangible harm that he has suffered, because after all, what are you going to do with that information? If in some way there is tangible harm, then the avera is compounded. Now, if I go and tell you about a business, you know, this guy's a ripoff, his merchandise is poor, he's inconsiderate, whatever it is that I tell you, and then it causes you to not buy his products, that is considered harm that has come about through my Lashon Hara, very severe, and there I would have to apologize. Remember yesterday we spoke about apologizing, where sometimes apologizing can make things worse. There I'd have an obligation to apologize then, because obviously I have caused him tangible harm, and I would have to inform him, saying, I humbly apologize that I've caused you harm. The halacha by apologizing, by the way, is that you have to apologize 3 times. Right? Now, it doesn't mean, when I was a kid in day school, so Erev Yom Kippur, you know, on Yom Kippur you're supposed to beg forgiveness from your fellow man, right? So on Erev Yom Kippur you go up to the guy, do you forgive me? Forgive me? No. Forgive me? You know, and you just say, you know, 3 times in a row, very quick. Forgive me? No. Forgive me? No. After 3 times you're supposed to forgive me I'm not at fault anymore. That's not what the halacha is. The halacha is you have to beg for forgiveness. And if the person does not forgive you, then you have to come begging and groveling again at a different occasion where you sincerely are asking for forgiveness. And if that doesn't work, then you have to come beg and grovel a 3rd time. After 3 times of begging and groveling, the halacha does not require any more. And the halacha wants that the person who you've wronged should no longer be stone-hearted, right? That he should find room in his heart to forgive you the same way that he wants Hashem to forgive him for his averas. And Hashem deals with us, mita keneged mita. So if a person is forgiving, Hashem will forgive him. The more we bear the grudge, the more HaKadosh Baruch Hu will find all sorts of grudges to bear against us. Believe me, there's plenty for him to find. So that is one of the benefits of being willing to forgive. When you cause somebody about a business, now this is very common, somebody says to you, what do you think of a certain store? You have to be very careful here. You are only allowed, and we'll see soon when it is that you're allowed to relate derogatory information, not only when you're allowed to, when you're required to. When it is permissible to relate derogatory information, that can only be where your motives are pure and you do not exaggerate. Right? There can be no, you cannot stick in any gratuitous remarks simply because Halacha says, let's say you want to know where to buy furniture. Now you're going to go to a certain store. Right? You say to me, what about Schwartz's furniture store? And I happen to know that his merchandise is very poor. I've bought his stuff has fallen apart in my house. And I say to you, oh, that Ganif, right? Not worth it, right? Do yourself a favor. You're better off buying using paper than using his, right? Or using cardboard than using his tables, right? I've exaggerated. I stuck in a gratuitous remark because to call him a thief, right? That's my opinion, right? He's not a thief. If he's a thief, he'd have been arrested long ago, right? He's obviously not a thief. I'm sticking in. I'm exaggerating. I'm saying more than is required. Halacha prohibits that. However, if there is a beneficial purpose, right? If I truly believe that you could do better somewhere else, the best thing for me to say to you is, well, you really ought to buy your furniture over by Goldman, right? Or by Cohen, right? Buy your furniture somewhere else. And if you insist on, yeah, but what about Schwartz? At that point, I can say to you, well, I don't feel that it's the highest quality. I feel you could do better somewhere else. That I'm allowed to do if I've got proper intent, if it's for a beneficial purpose, and if I'm not exaggerating. Okay? Now, we'll just finish the section, I'll get to you. Joking. You are not allowed to tell Lashon Hara even as a joke. Right? You cannot say anything derogatory about somebody, even if it's going to bring a laugh, and then afterwards you can apologize. You're not allowed to do so. Very common that people do such a thing. Incidentally, if you speak Lashon Hara about an entire community, then the Avera is compounded by the amount of people that there are in the community. If I say, all the people from Schwartzville, right, are snobs, right? Mm-hmm. Now, if there are a million people in Schwartzville, I've just become a millionaire. Right? Now remember that in Lashon Hara, the possibility on every word of Lashon Hara is that because there are so many commands in the Torah talking about it, it's possible to, on any one word of Lashon Hara, to be accumulating more than one Avera. The classic example, if you speak Lashon Hara, I mentioned this to you, right? You speak Lashon Hara, it's prohibited. If you're talking about your father, it's an additional prohibition. If your father happens to be a Kohen, it's another prohibition. If your father's a Torah scholar, it's still another prohibition. If you happen to be sitting in shul at the time while this is going on, that's another prohibition. If by doing so you're bearing a grudge, that's another prohibition. If you happen to be fueling an ongoing family feud, that's still another prohibition. So on one word of Lashon Hara, I could be accumulating, let's say, 8 or 10 or 12 prohibitions, all the way up to possibility, the maximum, there are 31 possible averas. You can never get all 31 on any one word. Some of them, they don't all work together. On the other hand, you could accumulate a nice total. So if I've spoken about all the people of Schwartzville in a conversation, let's say for each word I was going at the rate of 6 averas per word, multiplied by a million, right? I've accumulated 6 million averas, or 12 million averas, just with one sentence. Right, in 1 hour of speaking Lashon Hara, and you could accumulate massive amounts. We're going to talk about that in a second. Now, any questions about who and what is permissible to be said and who may be said? Yeah.
Is it permissible, if you're really frustrated about something that happened, is it permissible to tell a single person to let off steam?
No. No, there are some people who think it is, and it's not. You're not allowed to just come home and blow up. People think that it's permissible. It's not permissible. The last halachic authority I asked that specific question said you are not allowed to do so. You're not allowed to just come home and blow off steam just because you're having a rough day with somebody and you got to find somebody to talk about. You're not allowed to do that. Not only that, a common mistake that people make, when you go dating, very often you come back from the date and the shadchan will ask you, do you want to see this young lady again? And you say no. And the shadchan will say to you, why not? and you go into a whole list of reasons why not, you're not allowed to do that, because at that point it's no longer for a beneficial purpose. You are already finished, right? You're no longer going to go out. And even if the shadchan will be able to get a bearing based on what was the problem? Well, she's too interested in ichveis. She has certain habits which I don't like. She sits with her elbows on the table. I don't like that, right? The shadchan will now know to look for a young lady who doesn't sit. It doesn't matter. You're not allowed to use this young lady to say something derogatory about her in order to enhance your chances of finding a shidduch. That wouldn't be permissible. Dima?
Yeah. Is Lashon Hara something that always includes more than one person? For example, if I was just talking on the phone with my boss, and he got me extremely upset. So I hang up, and I was extremely upset, and I'm alone in the room, and I would say, what a jerk he is.
The famous philosophical question, if you say Lashon Hara in the woods, right, is that considered Lashon Hara? The halacha is, no, it's not. That's not like, Lashon Hara means that somebody else has to have heard it, right? On the other hand, it means that the trait is still in you. The fact that you need to let off steam means that you have to speak about it, and it means that it's still ingrained in our personality.
Maybe it's not Lashon Hara, but is it still considered Avera?
It's not an Avera, but it is a sign of a character flaw that needs to be corrected. Zef?
I'll give you for instance. Say a person's father, girl's having problems with his father, or something. It's been an ongoing problem, and it's respected Talmud Chacham, big rabbi, and family problems up the wazoo, you know, and she has to talk to somebody about it. It's been frustrating her for a while, and to talk to her, it would not only calm her down because of the present situation, but maybe you could help her, maybe you have a psychological degree or something, but maybe you can help her.
What's her name? The truth is that when you're going to speak to somebody, any type of family situation, any type of personality clash where you have difficulty with somebody, you go to your rabbi to find out, I'm having difficulty with so-and-so, he has to know who it is in order to help you out. Now, his job is first to try to help you out without having to hear the Lashon Hara. But if the rabbi sees, or whoever you go to, sees that the only way I'm going to be able to alleviate your suffering or to help the situation is by knowing who it is that's involved, and then you're going to have to tell me, right? Any type of counseling, any type of marriage counseling. A wife comes to the rabbi and says, oh, he obviously knows who her husband is, right? And she's not saying complimentary things about her husband. Those things have to be known in order to even begin. There's got to be the framework. You can't even begin without knowing all the information. Under those circumstances, it would be not only permissible, but you would have to say it in order that I could help, right? Or in order that whoever the rabbi is, that the rabbi should be able to help. Okay, yeah.
What's the rules about saying good things about people?
We're going to get to that in a second. We'll get to that in a second, okay? It's an important question, yeah.
Just going back to that, who's actually in a position to advise you? You gave the example of the rabbi. Can you go to
anybody you feel is capable of advising you. And if that person is truly capable of advising you, they need the information, so you're allowed to give them the information, right? But it has to be, somebody who's capable of advising you. Okay, yeah, one more.
So as a rule of thumb, you could say things about a person which have to be true but get negative only if it's for a beneficial purpose.
A practical beneficial purpose. And it cannot be a theoretical beneficial purpose. I say to you, you know what? Bernie's inconsiderate, right? Now, I don't know exactly why you need this information, but one day it could come in handy, right? I'm not allowed to tell you that. It has to be for a specific purpose, and that there's no other way for me to convey the information to you or to do anything about the situation, only then am I allowed to say it to you. Now, what happens if you hear Lashon Hara? What happens if somebody walks over to you and good morning, Bernie's inconsiderate, right? Before you had a chance, before you knew what was happening, he dumped the Lashon Hara on you, right? Remember, it takes two to tango. They say the Chafetz Chaim, when he was getting older, Chafetz Chaim died when he was 94, by the way. It's interesting. Somebody who's, the Torah guarantees long life to somebody who's careful about people. Well, Chafetz Chaim died when he was 94. I don't say that that's why, but it's interesting. The Chafetz Chaim, as he was getting older, he started becoming hard of hearing. So they asked him, why don't you get, some type of hearing aid? So the Chafetz Chaim says, look, I haven't heard Lashon Hara in over 60 years, right? Now, if somebody has something important to tell me, they'll shout it in my ears. Nobody's going to come shout Lashon Hara in my ears, right? And the Chafetz Chaim truly kept himself away from anything that even remotely resembles Lashon Hara. Now, if you heard Lashon Hara, this is probably one of the most difficult halachas that exists, If you did hear Lashon Hara, you are not, your obligation is to disregard it as being the truth. You are not allowed to hear it as being, you're not allowed to believe it as the absolute truth. You have to disregard the information. And there are methods to achieve that. You could think to yourself, right, perhaps the person who said it to me misunderstood the situation. Perhaps he's exaggerating. I know I exaggerate sometimes. Perhaps he's exaggerating. Perhaps he's lying outright. You know, sometimes I lie outright. Maybe he's lying outright. But it's prohibited to accept it as the absolute truth. Not only that, when you're asking for a beneficial purpose, right? Let's say you're trying to investigate, I would like to know if this guy's going to be my partner. I want to check out, maybe he should be my partner in a business that I'm opening. And you asked somebody, do you know Bernie? Would he be good in business? Bernie, he's got a record this long, right? He's wanted in 4 states for fraud, right? And he gives you a whole list of information about Bernie. Now, at that point, I've already decided Bernie is definitely not going to be my partner. On the other hand, I'm not allowed to believe what you told me is the truth. Right? Interesting. I'm not allowed to believe it as the absolute truth, but lemechash miboy, I am allowed to act based on the information. That means I'm allowed to take precautions. What if what you're telling me would be true? But I am not allowed, halacha prohibits me from believing it as the truth. Now, that's if you've heard Lashon Hara. We mentioned that sometimes it's permissible. Not only sometimes it's permissible, it's required. If somebody asks you for information about somebody in a situation where it is required, probably the most common situation nowadays is in shidduchim, where people want information about somebody who's dating someone else. They want to know if you know this person, you're the roommate, or you're the father-in-law, or you're the brother-in-law, or a friend. Then you have an obligation to give information. You have to be honest, and you are not allowed to insert any derogatory information simply because you don't like the guy or you hope that the shidduch breaks up because you like the girl, right? You're not allowed to do that, right? You have to be honest and give the information that the shidduchim needs. If you have any doubt whether or not what you need to say is permissible, then the same way that you have any doubt whether certain food can be eaten, what do you do when you have a doubt of whether or not you can use a spoon? You don't know if it fell into a dairy pot or a fleishik pot. You have to take and go ask a halachic authority. You have to ask a halachic authority what to do if you have any doubt in the laws of Lashon Hara. It is a Torah prohibition, no different, and in certain ways worse. What comes out of your mouth can be worse than what goes into your mouth, right? Very often people are careful about I don't eat certain food, I only rely on certain hetsherim. Person has to be extremely meticulously careful about what comes out of his mouth, what it is that he says, because we'll see the spiritual ramifications in a second. Now, there's another category. You asked about saying nice things about people, okay? Now, you'll see category number 10 is what's called avak lashon hara, right? Avak LH. LH is lashon hara. Avak means the dust of lashon hara. The Talmud makes a frightening statement. The Talmud says that a minority of people are guilty of sins involving sexual immorality. A minority of people are involved in that type of, a minority of theoretically observant people we're talking about, right, are guilty of sins involving sexual immorality. A majority of the people are guilty of sins involving theft. Right? Every one of us is, almost, I can't say every one of us, the Talmud says the majority of us. At one point or another, we have either ripped something off from the office where we work, right? Well, you know, obviously they have pencils in the office, they don't mind if I take a pencil, right? Or we're staying at a hotel, they don't mind if I take the towel, right? Or they don't mind if I take the TV, that isn't tied down either, right? They don't mind. Obviously, if they minded, it would be cemented to the wall or it would be drilled into the wall, right? Or the towels, obviously the towel has the hotel's initial on it for advertising. I'll do them, I'll do a mitzvah by taking the towel, right? And not only I take one towel, I'll take 3 towels, right? Everybody will know the Hilton, right? They know the Hilton anyway without you taking a towel, especially if you put the towels in your bathroom. Right? So every one of us at a certain point is guilty of theft, right? If you're inconsiderate about when a person's sleeping, like somebody's sleeping and you make noise, it's called Gezel Shena. You've stolen his sleep. And that's something that's impossible to replace because you cannot give him that time back. That's what the Gemara says. The majority of us are guilty of theft at one time or another. Everyone, the Gemara says, every single person, frightening statement, every single person is guilty of what's called avak lashon hara. Not everybody's guilty of lashon hara. There's some people who never speak lashon hara. Right? I know people like that who do not speak, they're meticulously careful. Everyone is guilty of what's called avak lashon hara. Avak lashon hara means the dust of lashon hara. That means you haven't actually spoken lashon hara, but what you've done is you have entered a situation where you've made lashon hara very likely to follow. A couple of examples. Let's say I know that you don't like Bernie. I know that you happen to be Bernie's enemy, or you have a strong dislike for Bernie. I say, hi, you know who I saw today? I saw Bernie. Right? And you immediately say, Bernie, that no good so-and-so, I get an assist. Right? That's a avak lashon hara. I've set you up. I have set you up for a lashon hara. Another halacha, if in a room full of people, even if I don't know that anybody doesn't like Bernie, even if I don't know anybody doesn't like him, to speak about Bernie, to say something, to mention Bernie in a room full of people, that's also called avak lashon hara, because chances are, the minute I mention his name, somebody here doesn't like him. The only one that you're allowed to speak about as in a room full of people, right, there's a prohibition of excessive praise. You're not allowed to excessively praise. You're asking about speaking, saying good things about people. You are not allowed to excessively praise people, because when you excessively praise, we are so insecure about ourselves. When I hear you excessively praising somebody, all I'm sitting there thinking is, well, how come nobody's excessively praising me? Right? So when you tell me, you know, Bernie is the kindest, most considerate, charitable person you've ever met, I think, yeah, but he's got messy handwriting. Right? I got to get something in. I have to inject some type of derogatory remark, because I cannot bear the fact that he's being praised. Right? That's human nature. And therefore, it's prohibited to excessively praise something. The only one you're allowed to excessively praise is somebody who the world recognizes as a righteous tzaddik, right? Somebody who the world agrees is beyond compare, something like the Chafetz Chaim or Moshe Feinstein, right? The world, everybody agrees, it's untouchable. Such a person you are allowed to praise excessively, nobody has anything negative to say about that. If you say, for instance, to walk up to somebody and say, hi, what do you think of Bernie? That's avak lashon hara. Because the chances that when you respond, by the way, it's a very dangerous opening line. Hi, how are you? What do you think of Bernie? Right? Well, what if what you think of Bernie is not good? So I've now set you up. That's called avak lashon hara. It is recommended by halacha that not only you don't say excessively praise people, the halacha recommends not speaking about people at all. Because inevitably, if people are spoken about, something derogatory is going to come out somewhere along the line. That's why it's also very dangerous to say at any time, what do you think of so-and-so? What do you think of so-and-so's cooking? What do you think of so-and-so's house? All of these situations are dangerous. It's got to be avoided. One situation which you should know, which is almost a minefield of lashon hara, is any type of class reunion. I mean, there's a class reunion, so everybody at the reunion generally talks about those who didn't make it to the reunion, right? Or you talk about little old anecdotes from high school, right, where they, or remember the time that Bernie got nailed for cheating, or remember the time that we did this, or remember the time that we tied the teacher's shoes to the wall, or whatever, we glued his shoes to the wall, and the teacher, oh, did you see how funny he looked when he was yelling and he turned red like a beet? All that's lashon hara. All from start to finish, that's all lashon hara, and all of that has to be avoided. Remember, we're talking about a Torah prohibition. We're not talking about rabbinic law. We're not talking about a custom over. We're talking about pure Torah prohibitions, no different than eating pork or shaving one's face with a razor. These are pure Torah prohibitions. Now, what's so terrible? Right? What's really behind the lashon hara? I mean, after all, everybody enjoys a good gossip session once in a while. You know, what is really, why the big fuss? Right? Why the big fuss with the lashon hara? So there's the Gemara says there was a sage. One of the sages' name was Rabbi Alexandri. And Rabbi Alexandri got up in the marketplace. Right? He stood up on a chair in the marketplace and said, who wants to live? Who wants to live? Right? So everybody, you know, they all come and gather around Rabbi Alexandri. And he says, okay, now I'm going to tell you how to live. And he reads them the pasuk. Remember the pasuk I told you where the Chafetz Chaim got his name from? Mi ha'isha Chafetz Chaim. Who's the man who desires life? Oev yamim liros tov, who wants to see only prosperity in his lifetime. Nitzor lashon chomeira, guard your tongue from speaking evil. Like Rabbi Alexandri, what's he telling the people? He's up on a chair announcing this in the marketplace. What's the big deal? So first of all, one of the problems is that speech, we mentioned how easy it is to speak. The Chafetz Chaim sat with a timer, and he timed that the average person could say 200 words per minute.
The average person when he speaks 200 words per minute. Chances are that if you're in a good gossip session, right, you kick it up to about 240 or 250, right? So you don't want to miss anything, right? So you say speak even faster. Every one of those words during that minute, every one of those words is an avera, and therefore a person who has sat and spoken lashon hara. How many words have we spoken of lashon hara today alone, right? How many have we spoken in an hour, right? You're sitting in a gossip session for an hour, right? So multiply, and I once made a calculation with minimums, right? I was generous. We'll only take 100 words per minute. Why go to the, why be extremist, right? We'll take 100 words per minute. At 100 words per minute, right? In an hour, how many words is that per hour, right? How many, 60 words times, 60 words times, what was it, 6,000 words? More than that. 6,000 words in an hour, right? In a day, right? Jefferson pulls a late night gossip session, right? Stays up 18 hours a day gossiping, right? In the entire lifetime as well. You come home and you gossip. You go to work and you gossip. You're at the office and you talk about it behind people's back. This goes on and on and on, and the lifetime becomes an accumulation of lashon hara.
Please turn the tape to the other side.